This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
How was your day yesterday? You guys go fishing at all?
Yeah, man. We made it up to the Delaware. Nice. Picked up a couple of brown trout. 17-incher, 15-incher.
Hell yeah, dude.
Really nice fish. Really beautiful fish. And the weather was terrible for fishing. It was about 50 degrees. The water was cold. And the wind was like crazy strong. So we got our asses kicked. But in the end...
How long were you out there for?
Like 4 hours, but we hit the, after we were done, we got skunked basically. And then we went right when we put the canoe away.
Yeah.
We're like, let's fish from the shore for a little bit and see what we can get happening. And nice. We caught both of them there.
Awesome.
I had another one that was on the line and it spit the hook. So
damn,
it was a good day considering how bad it started out.
What happened to your finger, man?
I was falling into the river and I grabbed on a thorn bush.
Oh shit, dude.
That was a couple days ago and it's gotten worse. So
dude, baking soda.
Yeah.
And like really hot water and salt.
Yeah.
Even getting the other thing I use is Epsom salt.
Okay.
Just take half of a thing of Epsom salt and dump it in hot water and put your hand in. Otherwise, the thorns that broke off in there won't break off and you'll get a shitty infection, bro. That's happened before to me.
Yeah, it's...
I literally, like, grabbed one when we were living in Denver and it was all right in here, you know? Like, all the thorns were right in that crease right there. And, like, for days, I'm trying to pull them out and stuff like that and nothing's happening. Then all of a sudden, they start getting infected. And Katie, like, looks at me and she's like, Dave, go get the Epsom salt. And literally put my hand in it, let it soak for like an hour and pulled it out. I mean, it was all crinkly looking and all that stuff. Washed it off and the infections were gone. All the little pieces of the bushes were gone too. So, man, it works. Epsom salts.
You ever heard of trigger finger?
Yeah.
Have I told you about this?
Uh-uh.
Like, my fingers keep locking up at night, like in this position right here. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's like a tendon issue. And then like I have to pop them out.
Damn, dude.
It happens all night, bro. Like,
that's rough, dude.
It's my middle two fingers, like, so it's like stuck like I love you, kind of like, but they're freaking down. And it's crazy, dude. I think I'm getting old.
Yeah, you're getting old. Yeah.
Tendon issues, bro.
Well, if you think about it, you're holding a pole.
Yeah, maybe all the lures I've been fucking with too.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You could get one of those hand masseuse, man. Just make them rub your hand.
Yeah, that's what I was reading about. You know, like, what fixes it? And they said massaging and... Like, eventually it can cause, like, deformity and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You've heard of the trigger fingers, like, really affecting people early on and before they knew what to do with it, you know?
I haven't.
Have you ever heard of, like old cowboys or whatever? Like, talk about it on, like... Not say old cowboys, but like movies that are like,
yeah,
they're talking about the like, got the freaking trigger finger and they're holding it up like this, like they're showing like it's just stuck like that, you know?
Yeah, that's so. What I feel like. But it like before I go to bed, not a problem, and when I wake up, it goes away like right away.
Hmm. Crazy.
So I guess that's what it feels like to start dying slowly, slowly dying.
It starts with your fingers and toes.
Trigger fingers and it's done.
Oh my god, dude. No, dude. I'm looking at these guys, like the top 10 guys, right? And I don't break down the NBA draft like you and I don't break down the NBA draft like 90% of people out there. Like they're like, here's the top players, here's all the greatest players. These guys probably don't fit in our system, but we want them because of their talent. We look at players as fit to this team, like fits to this team, like sizes, their arm length, their ability to play off the ball, their abilities to set screen and rolls, their ability to play multiple spots on defense, man. So when we come across a prospect like Shaedon Sharpe, like everything stops. Like I knew he was good. I knew he was talented. But the fact is he's the number one high school prospect for 2023, bro. He jumped up a year this year. I know a lot of people know this, but we're just telling you guys about this young man as we're going. And I've got an entire, you know, 7 pages full of this guy's talented things that he can do. Unlike some of these other guys that we've taken time with, all their video is out there of how they played. And, you know, Chet, obviously, Jaden, obviously all these, you know, times they played in the Final Fours or whatever. Like, these guys had opportunities for us to look at the film. Shaedon Sharpe played 0 minutes in college. He played at Kentucky, working with Coach Cal, which I think is perfect, Mark. If we're looking at a young man that, we want to circle and say, this young man is a lot like blank. And we already have another Canadian on our team who is 6'6 and who has a 6'10 wingspan. But Shaedon has a 7-foot wingspan, who's 6'6. He's 205 pounds, man. He has a hefty body. I look at him and I say that he could play, unlike Shay, Shaedon could play 1 through 4 on defense. And that right there makes me very intrigued. And I have to say is that if we had an opportunity to pick up a top player in the, let's say, 1 through 4 pick that we get, right? And then we get an opportunity to move up and pick up Shaedon Sharpe because he dropped in this draft for some reason, it would be amazing. I mean, he could move up in the draft and end up being a top 3 pick as well. So where he's going to land, it's hard to say, but I'm really up on this young man. He doesn't turn 18 till May, Mark, and that makes me excited.
So what about him makes you think it's, you know, he's more capable of defending the four than Shay?
His body size, the way he plays defense. And this is the thing I love about him. Watching his plays that he played in high school, obviously it's limited to what you can watch out there with him. He has a signature defensive move, bro. Like, all right, so his defender's out there, right? He opens up just slightly. And because he has such quick feet, he can cover up that space really quickly. So he opens up really slightly, just enough where the player feels he can get around Shaedon, right? And as he's going around Shaedon, Shaedon pokes his hand around the ball, pops it up, and he goes for a wide open duck. Like, to me, it was one of those things where I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, that was nifty. Ooh, was that on purpose? Or then I saw it again. And then I went back and watched one of his Nike games that he played. He does it 3 times in the game. All right? So with that being said, is how many guys in the NBA do you know that have a signature defensive move to create steals?
Yeah, I mean, there's some, when but you say, like you're saying.
When you say, can he play the power forward on defense better than Shay, is if he can figure out a signature move like this, and he's already 205 pounds at 6'6 with a 7-foot wingspan, it's not much to say that he could gain 10 more pounds, right? Now he's 215. He has that 7-foot wingspan, and he adds some defensive prowess. He is the best defender in this draft, I feel. I don't feel like there's a better defender in this draft. So, or at least a better upside defender in this draft. So with that being said, is that, yeah, and no doubt in my mind, if the Thunder picked him up, they have every intention of playing him at the power forward sometimes, small forward. You know what? If we're going small ball, fuck it. I mean, put him out there at the center. I mean, this young man has the it factor. He loves that step-out position, or what they call now the dunking position, right? He'll stay in that spot right there, the dunking spot, and then he'll get the easy dunks. Like, he understands the game in such a way that is inspiring because he's only 17. You know, like, if he was 19 years old and we were talking about him, I'd be like, you know what, he'll probably be a top 5 pick. But we're talking about him at 17 being one of those picks that, you know, he could be a top 3 pick, or he could fall out of the top 7. And if he falls out of the top 7, to me, like, this is an easy pick for the Thunder right here if we have an opportunity.
So, I mean, do you think, like, based on Sam Presti's, you know, approach of going younger and trying to get the youngest player in the draft possible, the highest upside. Do you think he's our target?
Let's talk about it. We've got youngest player in the draft so far, right? We have 6'6", 7 foot wing, or 7 foot wingspan, right? Okay, so he has the long arms, all right? He is a fast break finisher. He is not a fast break creator as of yet. That doesn't mean he won't be, but he is a finisher, okay? Which goes along with what we need right now, right? With that also being said, is that his motor, the way he goes, the run and jump, his straight line driving. I mean, I could just go on and on about this. Like, Sam Presti is looking for a young man. He doesn't have to be the youngest player in the NBA or coming in the draft, but he prefers that sometimes. Why does he prefer that? Because they're still able to be, you know, morphed into the player that you want to say, I guess you could say. But think about this. Kentucky guard, right? Which Coach K, pedigree.
Big check.
Right? Canadian.
Check.
Right? Like 6'10", or 6'6", 7 foot wingspan, check. Yeah. I mean, best defender in the draft, playing and four positions at without even blinking. If you're an NBA scout or a GM and you say, watch him play defense, and the way his size is, you could say 1 through 4, easy, in at least a year, right? So, signature defensive move. Like, what else? Fast release on his shot. He's getting faster on his shot. He's proven that he can pull up from anywhere on the court. He needs work on his shot, but, I mean, fuck it. Any 17-year-old coming into the NBA needs work on their shot. You know what I'm saying? Like that shouldn't be a surprise for anybody. I get excited about him. There's certain players that I get excited about. I love Jaden. I think if we had an opportunity to pick Jaden up, I think we do it. I think it's an opportunity to pick up Chet. We do it. But the more I get into Jaden, bro, it's almost like this guy is supposed to be as the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, this guy has Thunder written all over him. And to me, like, the only way we don't get him is if somebody outsmarts us in this aspect.
I mean, for me, the reason that I look at him and think this could be the guy that Presti really targets is because of the commonalities between him and Josh Giddey, really. Which is, first of all, they're the biggest mystery of the draft. And if they had played college
basketball...
International
man of mystery, bro.
Right, international man of mystery. He's our new international man of mystery. And if he played college ball, people would be able to, like, quantify his talent level in a different way, and that would increase his value. The fact that he didn't means there are question marks. But the way that he's different from Josh Giddey is that Josh Giddey played a year in Australia at a level that we consider to be higher than college basketball, competitive wise, and in the way that it translates into the NBA game. Whereas Jaden, we don't get to see that. But like you said, he's 17. So it really creates this combination of things that you have to look at him and say, like, this guy has the like you said, international man of mystery flair to it that has really defined our last two drafts, right? You talk about Poku, you talk about Giddey. Like, we're looking for the biggest mystery with the biggest upside. That, and the reason the mystery kind of matters is because you need to have a player that people don't know enough about to value at maybe their true value level. If Giddey had come out and played like we saw him play in the NBA, like 1 year in college, that guy would have gone number one. Like, people would have been saying up and down that he's got Magic Johnson flair. Like, he's got the ability to, you know, dictate the pace of the game with a pass and control both ends of the floor, really, with the ability to use his passing at such a high level. Now, Jaden doesn't have what I would consider the pedigree when it comes to passing. But if you now take and you say, like, who does his game remind me the most of from last year? I'm looking at a player like Cade Cunningham, and we bring him up a lot, but this guy has, like, very similar game, except for one thing. I'd say he's an elite athlete, and that's one thing. That was the biggest knock that it came down with Cade. You always question what level of athlete he was. But I think, you know, it's a challenge because you're watching him play against high schoolers and not college players. But sometimes when you see a player do certain things, you realize, like, it doesn't matter what level. Like, they can do that in high school, college, the NBA – the NBL, it doesn't matter. If they have these skill sets, they play well no matter where they go. And that's when you watch Shaden explode to the basket and he gets up there. He looks like an NBA player no matter where he's playing. And that's, you know, I'm sure like the best insight you could have for him would be those Kentucky practices. Like if you got to see an inside look at that, you would know for sure where he's at.
Man, you're so right. And that's why, to me, I look at this, right? And because he was a 2023 draft a prospect, I got to say, and this is not going to make a lot of people happy, but I almost would rather us, right now, take our number 4 pick, whatever that is going to be, and then trade out number 12 and number 30, and either our second round pick or a top 20 protected for next year, right, Mark, for Shaden. Because here's the reality, is Shaden next year would be a top 3 pick, if not the best pick next year. So we could get essentially 2 top 5 picks in next year, or this year and next year, even though we make the playoffs next year. Because it null and voids now that we get Shaden, essentially. So for me, I'm looking at that as a true possibility that this could be something that we're all looking at and saying, hey, listen, we want Shaden on our team, and this is going to be our first-round draft pick for next year, and that's the way we got to look at it. And if that's the case, man, I'm pumped because I get excited about Shaden. There's very few guys. He needs a lot of minutes. I'm not out here saying that he's going to come in and start right away and do all these things right away. No, Shaden needs a lot of minutes in order to get there, but that's the one thing the Oklahoma City Thunder can guarantee that he'll get. Is a shit ton of minutes. And that's the one thing that I get excited about, because if Shaden comes in and he's not necessarily ready to play right away, guess where he goes? He goes to the Oklahoma City Blue and he gets ready. And to me, that's the most unbelievable opportunity for him, because if you get a season like he did with Coach Cal, and then you get even 10 games with Coach Gibbs and the player developmental coaching staff and that G League, man, this is going to help him. And that's why I keep going back to this, is that I would almost rather us draft this young man, even if he plays our G League the entire year, because next year he would be, I don't know if I've seen a better prospect for next year than Shaden so far. And that's saying something. So I feel like this is our moment if we get a chance at it.
So do you think he's a small forward?
Yeah, I think that his natural ability would be a small forward guy. But with that being said, is that I think he would be better at the power forward, allowing us to play 3 other guards.
Right.
Or but 4 other.
Could,
I mean,
he could slide over. Like, and I he's think a little bit small at 6'6", but if he can defend the position and with that wingspan, he can do more than just
his signature defensive move won't be right. Hard to learn how to do on power forwards. So. With that being said, is I like that 4 guard mentality. So yeah, he fits better than any other person if we're trying to plug him into our starting lineup. I mean, Chet, yeah, I mean, whatever. Chet would fit perfect, I guess. But if we're talking about in that guard setting, this would be, Shaden would be an easy fit. Shaden would come in, fit in that power forward position, get his ass whooped the first year. Next year, come back stronger and better, you know, like. And then you'd have like your Roby, your Baisley, your JREs, you know, subbing in for the power forward and center position and just running all out. Like, that's the thing about Shaden, is that he doesn't always need to play the power forward position because of the way we rotate. He would be required to play power forward, small forward, and shooting guard during the course of a game. And he could do it all.
Yeah. So let's talk about projections, because we don't have anything to go on, but just mechanics and what we see skill level, but what level do you think he could be as a 3-point shooter starting out?
Well, I mean, I think that really depends. I think that depends on what Coach D and Coach Gibbs and the rest of the staff really feel his strengths are. Okay, so I feel like more of his strengths are setup shooter at this point, you know, like he can create shots off of his dribble. I've seen him do it. He's phenomenal at that. But right now I feel like they would want him to focus on his set shooting. So okay. I think he would probably come out this first year shooting just around 30%. You know, like, it could be more, it could be less, but at the end of the season, they're going to expect him to do more and shoot more. And if he's shooting at 35% as a set shooter, they're going to want him to shoot more off the dribble. So if they're shooting more off the dribble, then I think that number drops down to about 30. But that's what I see that he could probably do is his first year like that. But it's good enough to build off. I mean, it's 30% for a rookie, you know?
Yeah. And probably I was thinking 33, 35 range because of his mechanics. But obviously, shot selection will have a lot to do with that. Like you're saying, if he's doing it off the bounce, it's going to be a little bit lower statistically, we assume. And if he, you know, takes shots within the offense where the ball finds him and he's open, you know, it could be up to 35. And I'm sure the team separates those numbers whenever they're evaluating a player and working on what they should be working on in the off season. But, okay, so that's – now, what do you think about inside the arc? What level of shooter do you think he could be in 2 points?
Well, this is why I love – this is why I love his in the perimeter game, because there was so many times that I watched him shoot inside of the three-point line. He doesn't give up on it, right? There's a couple times his leg flared out or he would fade away or something like that. His mechanics were slightly off. But when everything is right, it's almost as he's going to the basket, right? His offensive rebounding is sensational. The way that he is able to track the ball, right, catch it, and release it within half a second is elite. He's playing against high schoolers when I'm watching him do this, but these are elite high schoolers at Nike camps and stuff like that. So this is not like a bunch of chump little kids, homeschool kids running around playing hoops, you know? So that's the way I look at him. I mean, I looked at Shaden as one of those guys that in 3 years, whoever has him is going to be so grateful that they picked him. You know, like to me, do I think that he is that LeBron James type caliber of player? Like that's a big ask. But the reality is that some people talk about the way that he finishes and he drives like a straight line. Right. And they're saying that they would like to see more finesse with it. This is what I got to say, is how many times do you see finesse with Zion Williams driving to the hole?
Right.
What was Williamson? Like, that's my point, is that you're right, guys. Everybody is right to say once in a while I like to see some finesse, right? But there's some players that just play so much better driving straight lines that people can't fucking stop them, right? So Shaden at 6'6", he isn't that LeBron James size, right? But the way that he goes to the hole, the way that he finishes, like I have yet to see a player that I would say, and if he was coming out as the number one pick next year, I would be drooling. I would be like, I would do anything to get this guy, right? And that's why it's so intriguing to me, is because now you have an extra year of training this young man, right? I'm sitting there saying, if we don't get a top three pick, right? If we don't get Jaden, he's out of the question. We don't get Chet, he's out of the thing. I'm not looking anywhere else, man. Shaden's it. Like, that is all. Like, I would pick him without even thinking twice. And I would be like, I had the best draft we've had in a long time. Because to me, number one prospect in 2023 decides to come out and you get a chance to have an extra year out with him who could be one of the best prospects in a very long time. I mean, who really knows? Like, bro, this is next level. This is what Sam Presti drools about. This is what Sam Presti dreams about, man. Like, guaranteed, Sam's already thinking 14 different angles on this. You know, Coach Cal and him obviously have a relationship because of Shea and Noel. We've had so many Kentucky guys come in and go, right? There's a relationship there with Cal. And I guarantee you, if I'm Coach Cal, I'm saying I want Shaden to go someplace where he has the best chance to become the best player he can, right? Why wouldn't I be picking up the phone and saying, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder has the fourth best odds right now. If they don't get one of their players and they drop back to number five, I'm already calling Oklahoma City Thunder and being like, Shaden, he's the guy you want, guys. Come on. You know, like, that's what I would be doing if I was Coach Cal. So I know it's happening. I know it's behind the scenes. And this is what makes me excited. Like, this young man is the future of the NBA. And to have an opportunity to get him because he's decided to come out a year early, fuck it, man. Totally worth it.
What if you had a chance? What if we had a chance this year to get Jaden and Shaden? Like, somehow our, you know, we get the fifth and the seventh
pick. Are we talking about a wet dream right now, or are we talking reality?
Well, I mean, you were talking about Sam Presti's wet dreams a second ago, so...
All right. Wet dream. We get number four and number seven. Somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but number four and number seven, I think that number seven is Jaden's number right there. Listen, he could go up to number five, right? He could go up to, but I don't think he's going to jump Keegan, right? I just don't think the Iowa State power forward, he's going to jump. So that's number five right there, I'm thinking. You know, number six is always a wild card, and there's always a power forward run right going on right now. So that's why I look at another power forward possibly going there, or the center, you know, from Memphis, Duran. So you know what? I mean, like, I would do anything to see us get Jaden and Shaden. I mean, like, on every fucking level, bro. Like, these two guys, we're not going to have another opportunity for this.
And this is only our third player to cover. So we've got more time to go, and we'll see how things change. But one thing that makes me really feel like you're kind of keyed into the way Sam Presti's thinking right now is that, like, you look at him coming out a year early and getting an extra year with him as a bonus, right? That's got to be how Sam's thinking. But other teams will look at it and say, well, he's a big mystery. We don't know enough about him. If he had taken that year in college, then his value would be higher. Now, for us, we look at his value couldn't be any higher because we're getting him younger. But they look at it, if he was a little bit older and he had that time at Kentucky, then he would be worth more.
Well,
so it's an inversion of the way that things you look at. And, you know, in the past, we used to talk a lot about the way Sam Presti really rethought the way you build teams. Like, there was a point when it was obvious that we weren't going to be able to live up to the expectations that we had. It was Russ and Paul George, and they were getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. And Presti really decided that there was only one way forward, and that was to rebuild the team, not in this way that we had really become accustomed to it, where it was Russ and, you know, a superstar wing, Steven Adams, or, you know, a consistent big. And the team kind of ran in this Scott Brooks style. Maybe even Billy Donovan would always talk about, you know, spacing and ball movement. But in the end, whenever we saw it out on the court, we always saw the same thing, which was ISO heavy. You know, we've got more talent and we're going to beat you that way, which frankly fucking sucks. And you see a team like, you know, Portland and Terry Stotts, who have five guys on the court who can, you know, attack, four guys who can shoot the three, and it really hurts. You just get beat like a drum. And so I look at Shaden Sharp as kind of like the modern Sam Presti target. You know, like you said, international man of mystery and super young. Those things speak to us because while you can look at his talent level, like, it's neat. He's really fucking good. Like, but the question is, what does it mean to have that extra year? What does it actually mean to enter the NBA when you're 17 versus 18? And I think what it means to us is you get to have that year a bit like Josh Giddey, where he outperformed everybody's expectations, but he's coming back next year basically with a blank slate. The pressure hasn't even started on him yet. And that's really a beautiful thing. And, you know, if Shaden comes out and, like you said, maybe he ends up spending some time at the G League, maybe not. Maybe he, you know, comes in and he starts right away and he never gives up the position. But either way, whatever happens, it's like a free year because he didn't take that time at Kentucky.
And you got to think about this as well, man. Like, if I'm Sam Presti, and I don't even know if this is legal, I'm just going to automatically say it's illegal just because it's the NBA. But I'm Sam Presti. I'm on the phone with Coach Cal right after the college season ends and right after my season ends. And I'm saying, Coach Cal, I'm guaranteeing Shaden will be picked by us in the first round. He will not make it past us. That's what I'm fucking making the phone call. Because guess what? I don't want Shaden waiting till next year to be drafted. And Sam Presti doesn't want that either. He wants Shaden to know he's got a home right now, ready to go for him. And that's what makes me excited, because there's very few players that I circle that I would be like, I'm willing to bet the farm, this is the guy. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the only guy in the top 10 we'll get. And that's what is so crazy about this, is that we could walk away with two top 10 picks, both guards. Like, it's astonishing to me. Like, everybody else is out here saying, like, oh, the Thunder aren't going to get any more guards in this such a heavy, you know, center and power forward draft. But guess what? The two guards that are the best in this draft are being left alone because the power forwards are the bright, shiny object that everybody's staring at right now. And that's fine with us, because that means we're going to get a chance to get Shaden. We're going to get a chance to get Jaden. We're going to get a chance to get these other players that people aren't looking at. And the reality is that I'm all for having four or five guards starting and playing at the same time. And it makes me excited even thinking about it.
So it sounds to me like you really believe he's a generational talent, multi-time All-Star in the future, and maybe even a chance
he could be our best player if we get him on our team. Yeah. Hands down. I look at Josh Giddey as being one of those guys that people always like, oh, wow, unbelievable, right? And I look at Shea as being one of those guys. But as straight-up scoring talent, defender, I think we have what we would consider one of those guys that all-NBA team, all-defensive team for the future. And to me, All-Star doesn't really matter. It's the all-NBA team, first-team all-NBA team. And that's the type of player Shaden is going to become. That's why I want him on our team, because you see these type of guys that are coming out and you're like, oh, damn. Like, you don't get a chance like this, bro. You never fucking get a chance like this to get a player that's re-gone a year ahead of time, right, to get into the draft. And not just that, but he is probably going to be the number one pick next year, and he's giving that up. For what? To play with who? That's what I'm saying. There's only one team it makes sense.
So let me ask you, if he was 6'9", .. fill in the blank.
6'9", number one pick in the draft this year.
Really?
Even at 17 or 18, whatever, yeah. Doesn't fucking matter.
Without playing. What if he is 6'9", and we don't know it? Think about Josh Giddey.
Well, we'll know very soon. Now, if he declines any workouts, right? And he just doesn't do any workouts, he doesn't do the pre-draft thing, then we know the Oklahoma City Thunder are drafting him.
You feel like that?
100%. He's got it guaranteed. Because there's no other team that has the connections that the Oklahoma City Thunder has with Canada, with Kentucky. There's too many it factors. There's just too many it factors.
Yeah, I mean, if he's like 6'10", 6'9", something like that, and he's got the skill level that he has, then, yeah, I mean...
It's Chet who?
Yeah, in 5 years, probably. Yeah.
That's what I keep on going back is it's the projection of the next, you know, few years. Like, there's not a better player in my mind for the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's not. There's just not in this draft.
Damn. And you called it, man. You hit me up whenever you saw that he was going to go to Kentucky, but he wasn't going to play. You're like, this is our guy. So this was probably 6 months ago. Yeah, it was a while ago. And I liked really him. I read all the statements player. From his family. I was like, no, it looks like he's going to play. It's just not going to be right now. And you're like, no, man, this is our guy. So, like, you've been locked into him for a while. I kind of look at him as, like, someone that it's kind of like, we'll wait and see. But as soon as I saw he was declaring for the draft, and I think that came out yesterday, right, Dave?
Yeah, yesterday, last night, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, Dave's right. They list him at 6'6", but who the hell knows? Because, and like you said, if he declines workouts, then we won't know until that press conference and we get to see him standing next to some other people.
If he's 6'9", 6'8", right, he does not fall past 3. It just won't. I mean, I'm almost 100% sure he would go at number 2 if he's at 6'8", 6'9". Like, Oklahoma City Thunder is the team for him. And the only way the Oklahoma City Thunder don't get him is if a team steals him from them. And we're talking, like, we're still a month away from people chatting about who is going to be drafting who and guarantees and all that stuff, right? We always hear, like, Poku, like, Oklahoma City is going to pick Poku if he was there. You know, Bazley, Poku, right? Or Bazley, Oklahoma City Thunder. So we've heard it in the past, right? I think Reggie Jackson was the other one. Cam, we hear these rumbles. Okay, Oklahoma City's going to draft this guy, right? It's going to come out hard. It's going to be thick with Shaden. It's going to be like everybody's like, oh, it's a wrap-up. I mean, Oklahoma City's going to draft Shaden. And it's going to come out really soon, and everybody's going to know about it. And to me, that's cool because I think we're the first ones calling it. And I'm telling you guys, like, all the experts are going to be on this wagon of Shaden and Oklahoma City. And it just is the right fit.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else you can say other than that, like, this guy has got, like, a lot of NBA talent. And it's going to be interesting to watch, like, how he handles the pre-draft, how he handles all of the things that go with that. Because, yeah, we can look for some clues in that. And, you know, so what? What if he is actually 6'6"? He's got a 7-foot wingspan. Like, height, you know, is only one factor about how you play.
I want to throw this out here. When he signed to the Kentucky, they said he had a 6'10 wingspan. Now coming out of Kentucky, they're saying it's a 7-foot wingspan. So, and that was when he was 6'6". So there has to be some type of growth that happened, right? Yeah. Has to be. And even if there's not, man, like 6'6", 205, 7-foot wingspan, like that's their baseline, man. Anything that happens is after, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance players are still growing. That's kind of one thing that we kind of like gamble on is if they're young enough.
Josh Giddey came out as 6'7 in the pre-draft stuff, and then we're like, he's not 6'7, he's 6'8, 6'9.
Right. They started saying he was 6'9 after we got him. It's kind of like the way that we do things, and I like it. I mean, it's a mysterious like move where you kind of like try to let people's preconceived notions or, you know, assumptions, right? Like dictate, and then all of a sudden afterwards you're like, you know, we really had something else going on here. Let's just let everybody find who they want to find. We're going to find our guy, and it's going to be ways, like you said, it always comes back to the international man of mystery.
And there's more to it than just the international man of mystery. You know, like, you've got to understand that we're not building a team for the NBA or for other teams. We're building a team for Oklahoma City, right? You hear it in every single fucking press conference that we do with Sam Presti, Coach D. They're always talking about the heart of Oklahoma City. They're talking about the growth in Oklahoma City. They're talking about the passion in Oklahoma City. They're talking about the love, the motors, the desire, the bleeding of blue, right? Always. You look at these players that are coming in, and you're saying, I'm saying constantly, does that person fit who Sam Presti considers to be a true Oklahoman? And that's why I consistently go back to Shaden, because that heart, that love, that passion, that desire, that motor, that pure instinct of basketball, but just a good fucking human being. And that's Shaden. And that's more so than I've seen anybody else in this draft. I'm not saying that these other guys are dipshits or assholes or anything else like that. But I'm saying Shaden stands out amongst all these other guys like a shining beam of light, being shining beam of light. Fuck it, I can't even talk right now. That is what's so incredible about him. I'm not saying that he's a Jesus Christ of this draft, but I am saying that this could be the generational player that everybody wishes that they drafted, but they missed. And that's why I have to say is that I'm predicting that he's going to be a first-team NBA. He's going to be a defensive first-team or defensive team All-NBA. He'll be an All-Star by year three. This young man is special.
Damn. Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, listening to Sam Presti, like, we obviously love to cover his, you know, end-of-season press conference, and we're going to come back on Monday. We're going to take a small break from doing the player profiles, and we're going to get into that postseason press conference from Sam Presti. We'll get some audio clips of that so you guys can hear from his own words what he thinks about you know, the season and where we're headed. That's going to be a big part. So we'll do that Monday, and then after that, we're going to get back to really assessing this draft. But yeah, I'm excited about Shaden, bro. You called it, and now you've got me all fucking pumped up.
I mean, to me, there's just certain players, like I've said. I should have asked you more what you thought about Shaden instead of me just talking this whole time. But, like, let me just ask you this before we get off. Out of all the players that you have seen in this draft so far, and we've talked about three so far, but we're talking about our first pick. If you're sitting there in Sam Presti's chair, which one of the three players are you picking at this moment?
Yeah, it's got to be Shaden. I mean, as much as I love, you know, what Chet brings to the table, there's so many questions about durability and, like, figuring out, like, where he'll be in 7 years. Whereas yep. Shaden, I don't have those same questions. I really feel like he's the NBA prototype in so many ways.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I feel like this is the same situation we're in, where the Oklahoma City Thunder have the fifth pick, whatever that was last year, and everybody was like, you know, Kuminga or this or that, you know, like Sam Presti stayed strong. It was Josh Giddey, and everybody was like, whoa, that was way too early. I feel like this could be the same situation if we end up with a fourth or third pick, is, you know, we could just be picking Shaden and that's that. And everybody else is like, why did that so early? And then it makes sense afterwards.
Yeah, like, oh, well, that team is going to target him with the next pick. You know, we just use our pick. I mean, yeah, we had the sixth pick last year. It would be fascinating if we end up in the same spot. But I also have this really strong sense that, like, things are going to go a little bit different. I don't really feel like we're going to be sitting there outside the top five again. But we could be. Obviously, it's just a feeling. And if that's the case, you know, are we willing to move up to get him? Probably. Are we going to, you know, figure out ways to pull this off? It all depends on how he fits in our system. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Would you take, like, a combination of, like, let's say Oklahoma City ended up with a number one pick. Would you take a combination of assets and players to drop back to, let's say, number four, where the Orlando Magic's at? Would you take a package deal with that?
Yeah.
Would you, like, without blinking?
Well, I mean, it would have to be the type of deal where...
Like, what type of deal would it need to be?
The example is always the Celtics and how they got Tatum.
Okay.
Like that's always the example. If you can find a way to get your guy this year and get another future lottery pick,
yep.
Like you got to do it.
Cool. I agree. Because I feel like I like Chet. I like Jaden. But they don't make sense like Shaden. Gosh, that sounded so good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. Like with the Celtics, what they did there. And now you look at where Tatum is, and you have to look at Shaden and be like this guy has that level of skill, that level of, you know, ability. I mean, it doesn't just because you have it. I mean, I remember when Brandon Ingram was coming out, everybody's like, oh, this guy's the next KD. Like, it takes time.
Yep.
You don't come out and just say, like, oh, I'm tall and I can shoot the ball. Like, you have to be able to master the NBA game. But if I look at someone who has the ability to end up being like all NBA first team, I mean, this is the guy.
I agree, man. This has been a fun episode. I know every, like, we did this same thing last year with Josh Giddey, is we got off and we're like, that was our favorite episode, man. That was such a fun episode of talking about Josh Giddey. I feel the same way about Shaden. I'm so pumped that we had an opportunity to break down his game and talk about all the things that we love about his game. I mean, there's so much unbelievable stuff to talk about, and there's so much unknown stuff, and I think that's what's exciting. I think that's what's really cool, is be able to have this moment where we still have a long time before we find out where our draft pick is, but in our minds we already know where that draft pick is going.
Hell yeah, man. And so we'll be back on Monday. We appreciate everybody joining us, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.